We'll call the Finance Committee meeting of December 1st to order. First item on the agenda is comments from the public. You can do them now, or if you have something on a specific item, we can do them at that time. Any comments?
I don't have any hands.
Okay, right. Moving on to item three, review. You don't have, or you do?
I don't. I just wanted to make sure you could hear me.
Okay. Okay, great. So we'll move to item three. Review and discuss the reserve study RFP, Tom.
Yes, good morning. We had planned to have the RFP available to display right now, but we don't. It's a whole workload issue. But our plan is to put out the RFP to do a full reserve study in the next couple weeks. And much like the engineering study, we expect to have something back to the board by February. It takes about 3 weeks to run an RFP, then you get the answers back, responses back. And then after that, you spend a couple weeks reviewing and negotiating a contract. And depending on the value of the contract, we'll probably come back to the board for the approval. And that's just an update to the Finance Committee. It's where we're at with that.
Okay, so then I'm assuming then you'll put this up on the agenda for next month when we have some stuff to look at?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments on that? Is that okay with you, Tim or Marty?
It is, and I'm pleased to be part of this committee now. Thanks.
Well, welcome. I'm at a point where I don't know who's on. Is Tim on with us too?
I don't see Tim.
Okay. So we have Marty. That's an improvement. We can move on to item four then. Update the security service opinion survey. Tom?
Yes. We received four applications. The deadline was last Wednesday. And we received four applications, and we're putting together who's going to sit on the review team and get those all printed out so we can start our analysis of the firms and what they have to offer. And then after we get that, we'll look at the cost and come back to the board, hopefully, with a discussion on who selected at the board meeting. And then we may have an idea of how we want to set up the review, the timing of what will happen next. It'll be
so
pretty active discussion.
Okay, so when you say review team, Tom, what do you got in mind there?
I really haven't thought about it completely. I would think myself, at least one board member, and whomever else who would you think should be on the review team? Haven't really thought about it yet.
Well, there, I think probably without some difficulty, we can't go to three, but I would suggest two. And we might want to have, when we get it scoped out, we might want to have some way for you to collect input from all five directors and then kind of go from there. You take that input plus your two people sitting on the review team, and then I think you get a more comprehensive board opinion as to what everybody's got in mind.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Marty?
Yeah, we're talking about the process after we've selected somebody and they're gonna give us their opinions and we're gonna give comments back on that. That's the review you're talking about, right?
Right. It was, if correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I think the first part of this is actually figuring out what it is we want to ask. And I think that first part would be having the two board members and getting the comments from the other three and then kind of going from there. Is that what you got in mind, Tom?
Yeah, I was going to have two board members, myself, and maybe somebody from the RMA review the four proposals.
Okay.
Kind of summarize what they have to offer. Maybe do a compare and contrast about which one or not.
Okay.
Take that selection to the board.
And okay.
I can definitely, after we do the compare and contrast, I can definitely meet one-on-one with the other board members and kind of consolidate their input to something that comes up from my desk.
Yeah, that's fine.
I see Les Clark is asking in the chat about adding somebody from the general public and adding somebody from the RMA. So I'm not opposed to having somebody from the RMA. I don't know. And I'm not opposed to having somebody from the general public as well.
No, I'm very much in favor of having someone from the RMA, and I'm not opposed to having someone from the public, but I'm not sure what that does when you pick one person from the public. I mean, my experience has been when you ask 10 people what this ought to look like, you get 10 different answers. I'm not opposed to it at all. I just don't know what the most efficient way of doing that would be.
Yeah, I think there would be plenty of hands up to sit in and go through the process. So let's.
This is Les Clark. I just wanted to clarify. My comment was, what about someone from outside of RMA that is also involved in security issues or concerned about security issues? Not.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, Tom, you could consider someone from the commercial entity. You know, I don't know how you group that. You know, you've got the airport, you got the shopping center, you got the equestrian center, you've got the individual businesses, the training center. You know, we might consider that.
Okay, the obvious choice is John Sullivan, because he's pretty much in charge of a lot of the community.
Yeah, and I think down the line too, we had we were going to consider having some type of a group session, a stakeholder meeting to get input from that whole group. In other words, sit down with representatives of each of them and kind of take their temperature on what this ought to look like. Go ahead.
Excuse me, John. That's part of the RFP requirements, that the company who we select does the workshops with.
Right. Okay. Okay. So we can, you know, as you get further down the road, you can think that one through. Like I said, I have no objection to preliminary public assistance or public input, but I don't know, by picking one person or two people, you might actually be doing more damage than you are good. I don't really know.
And I think I'm going to go with the idea of adding somebody from the commercial side, and the public comments can come in the form of when the workshops are being completed.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I'll reach out to Mr. Sullivan and see if he's interested. And then if he's not, I'll ask him if he can recommend somebody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be more than happy to do it. any more on this item? No. Any questions or hands, Amelia? Anything?
No, chats.
Okay, 5, delinquent and reinstatement of late fees and interest on delinquent accounts.
Yeah, this is
Tom. That's you. Yeah,
this is me again. The delinquencies are growing. We've had, I think we added about 17 additional accounts in the past 2 months that are delinquent, that are behind on paying their bills, and we now the balance of $55,000 is becoming daunting, and we need to be able to start being more aggressive with our collection process. We do reach out on a daily basis by calling people, and we try to set up pay agreements. And as I believe this letter says we have one pay agreement so far, and the debt continues to grow. We have to collect it, and you know, we don't have the hammer of turning off the water like we have in the past, because the governor's order doesn't allow
right.
water. So we need to try to incentivize people to start paying their bills. And we understand that people have issues that are legitimate, but those for those legitimate issues, we want to get them into a pay agreements. So we
right.
have forward moving progress. We brought this to the board in October. They suggested we wait till after the holidays. And this, so here we are. If this goes to the board in December, then when we start sending out the January bills, we will start adding the late fees and charging interest on the past due accounts.
Yeah, there's two things going on here. First of all, and you can think this through, we don't have to decide this. If they enter a payment agreement, we have the potential of waiving penalties. If they don't and we add the penalties, what we do have that I think is important is when we get ready to roll those over into Teeter, then we're rolling over penalties, interest, and the actual bill itself, which is what I think at that point we absolutely would want to do. I mean, yeah. we're going to get paid on that amount. So if that works for everybody, that's kind of what I would recommend. You know, if people are having a tough time and they're willing to try and work it out with us and we're perfectly willing to be flexible on it, then I'm not so much interested in getting them on interest and late fees as long as ultimately we get paid for the bill.
So I want to be really clear about this and what your objective is or what your wish is. As I recall, when we discussed it back in October, we were going to take all the amounts due and leave them as due and start charging interest on them and start charging late fees on the new unpaid monthly bills. So for instance, if you haven't paid your bill since September and you don't pay it in December, we would charge a late fee on the amount that was charged in December.
Yes.
And not the amount from September through November, and just let that accrue interest. But any new non-paid amounts on a monthly basis, beginning with the unpaid amounts from December, would get the late fee.
Right. And the only, the doing it that way, I think solidifies what exactly we intend to do. Okay.
That's exactly.
You know, so, you know, rather than, well, you know, you've been here since September and well, we're doing this or we're doing that, or we're charging a late fee, or it from this point on, it is absolutely clear what we're going to do and what we're going to charge. So if that works for everybody else, that's okay with me.
And let me make sure I have it just right too, just for the record, John.
Okay.
Charge the late fee on January, starting with the January 25th, just on that 1 month cycle. But the interest would be due on all of that past due amount, like say from September.
That's correct. And make sure Tom concurs with that. But yes, we're not changing the process or the system that we're currently using to accrue interest. What we are doing, stepping off with January, is coming up with a concrete late fee policy that everybody understands. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yes, and so we will explain that in the pipeline and as a message on the statement.
Okay, cool. All right.
Can I ask something about that? So
sure, go ahead.
People that have payment plans, they're not subject to late fees or interest, right?
I'm happy to waive the late fee. What do you think about the interest?
it's hard not to do it for one and not the other. That's the problem.
Well, you know, yeah, but interest is just what it is on your unpaid balance.
Right.
I mean, the late fee is you know, more of a penalty. I mean, in consideration for us carrying you along, essentially, you're agreeing to pay interest.
So I would think
late fee is. Go ahead.
I would think somebody who's on a payment plan would not be charged late fees because that's an agreement with the district.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that would mean interest is the only thing under consideration for those people. So
right.
It seems to me that you can't have interest for one and not the other. So you charge them both.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to. In, you know, I'm not sure this would happen, but you know, I don't want to accommodate or encourage going forward that, you know, we're going to carry you no matter who you are and what the circumstance, that we're in a position to carry you for free forever, you know. So interest is interest. The late fee is more punitive. If you've made an agreement with us, I'm more than happy to forgive that. Any other comments there? I'm not locked in concrete on any of this. I'm just trying to get it to where we all understand it.
Yeah, I would like to get it to a solid state. Just so you understand, that we charge 10% late fee. So I'm guessing the $55,000 or basically $56,000 unpaid amounts would have generated $5,600 in late fees. At this point, I understand that we're going to waive all the current late fees that generated up to the $56,000. But once we turn on the interest, we'll start earning a 1% interest from the unpaid amounts for all of the customers. And then anybody beginning with December payments not being made will get late fees on their January bill, but we won't charge late fees on the old amounts. But we will charge interest on all the amounts.
Right. Now, the other one, just so you guys, there are six properties on here that are November of 2019, which is absolutely pre-pandemic. I'm looking more at going forward, where you see the second item there, where it starts in February of 2020. Those, you know, I think when we're talking through this, that's what we're accommodating here. So I don't see making any changes to ancient history here is necessary. What I'm saying is the baseline for the pandemic is February 2020. And when we get to a point where the world agrees that the pandemic is over, we will go back to another form of assessing late fees and penalties. But in the interim, what we just discussed would apply to everybody from February through September, and then keep going, of course.
Okay.
What's the magic date this starts?
February.
No.
No, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, the magic date is January.
So when we send out the January bills, those bills not paid in December will be assessed a late fee, and everybody, all the past due amounts will begin 1%
interest. Right, and if you going forward, if you make a payment agreement with us, we're going to waive the late fee, correct?
Yes. On the past due amounts, but the current non-paid amounts.
Right. Yeah. Going forward from the date of your agreement, you will not be assessed a late fee. Is that correct?
For the amount, yes, because you're in a pay agreement.
Right. And so then it behooves us, once we approve this, we go back to everybody on the list from February 2020 going forward, and we make sure they understand that. And hey, you know, if you can see your way through it, here's the advantage of entering an agreement with us.
Correct.
Okay.
So we'll put something together. We'll have a sample of it for the board meeting.
Okay.
We'll also be able to update these bullets. I think if we add the October non-paid amounts, that number is going to go up.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it definitely is here. I mean, there's a lot more of this going on, and I would unfortunately assume that there will be more of it. And Marty, are you cool with this? You fine?
Yeah, I am. That seems reasonable.
I do have a chat from the audience. Crystal asked two questions. We'll start with the question that she asks on this topic first. What were the late fees previously used to pay? And where was the money allocated? Or was it just part of the general fund?
Anyone want me to sign this?
So I'll answer that question. We estimate how much we expect to receive in penalties and late fees based on experience. And so if you look at the budget report right now under revenue, there's a line item for late fees and penalties.
That's
John. John, mute yourself, would you?
I muted him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Does that answer that first question from Crystal Matter?
Yeah, we do. We do have a line item, and we always have had a line item. And it's a revenue stream like all other revenue streams that drops down and covers the next segment of the balance sheet, which is expenses.
Yeah, it's just a revenue. It's a revenue account. We predict what it is. We're usually pretty accurate. This year, of course, we've received zero penalties and late fees. So that budget line item shows that it's not accurate right now. That I think we budgeted for. Cindy, are you on the line? Can you tell me what that budget was? I don't mean to catch you off guard. Right, maybe she just sent me a message. So I believe it's like $30,000 or $40,000 a year that we budget for penalties and late fees.
And right.
It's just general revenue for the district.
Right. Okay.
What's your second question?
Her second question relates to the RFP. She came into the meeting late. And she says, was a company selected for the RFP, and will we go out for a public member to review the proposals that we received?
So no, we will not do that. That's our job. We'll review the proposals, and we will establish the committee to do the stakeholder input, and our job is to review the proposals. That's what the CSD does.
Right.
Anybody disagree with that?
No, that's what we decide. The public input happens through the stakeholder meetings.
Right.
I agree with you.
Okay. Anything else on there? Anybody else? Amelia? Any other issues?
So no company was selected. And what was the answer to Les's question? No, Crystal, no company was selected. We're still just trying to review it.
We received four applicants.
And which question, Crystal? What about the input from? What about input from interest outside RMA? Is that the question? Because he has a couple of questions. Oh, while the genesis of this issue is financial, why is the survey centered from Finance Committee?
As opposed to the Security Committee? I would think that's the question. Because it's such a budget issue more than it is a security issue at this time. So the matter is pushing forward because of the overwhelming drain on the property tax revenue to fund security. So we viewed it as a financial issue. However, we are keeping the security committee in lockstep with what is going on.
Once we review the proposals, set up a preliminary community to do that, add in the stakeholder input and go forward, you will get a full, for lack of a better word, accounting of what the public wants, what we need to do. But it starts out basically as a financial issue. Okay, where we are right now is if we don't do something, you're going to get a cut in service. So we're planning to do something. What we plan to do is to include the public input so that when we go to some kind of a referendum or a method to raise the capital necessary to fund the security department going forward, then we can set a baseline budget to work with for that. But until we do all of that, we can't do that. So we can't do anything that looks like a referendum. So it's a long process. And this is just the beginning, but it does start as a financial entity. We have to figure out how to get back $440,000 of property tax revenue.
But John, the issue is the new allocation to security from 21.7% to 31.7% of admin overhead. And so when you say that there's going to be a cut in service, what does that cut in service look like?
I have no idea what that looks like. That's why we're going to have this process. And the process is going to lay out for people what they want to decide for us to do. I have no answers to any of this. I will tell you the 21.5 to the 31.5% allocation is based on a formal study by a professional company that does nothing else but that. They are the ones that told us you need to raise your security admin overhead allocation from 21.5 to 31.5. And that's exactly what we did. And that's what triggered the whole process and makes quite visible the disparity between the cost and the revenue. So that's where we are.
And would the will those working groups be discussing the cut, the potential cut in services if there is an increase?
The working group is going to decide what it is they want us to do. And that's going to range from absolutely nothing to building you the Alamo. Okay. Whatever they decide, okay, that is where we need to go, that's what we're going to cost out. And that's what we will ultimately put in front of the public. Okay. So to assume that anything at this point is concrete or has been decided or is locked in stone is incorrect. We're going to do what the various entities that will be involved, what the various stakeholder entities, we're going to do what they ask us to do. Any other hands, Amelia?
No other hands, no other chats.
Okay. Give me back the budget. Not the budget, the agenda.
Okay. Are we done with this item, and does the committee recommend moving this to the board?
I think we're back on the original item, which is the late fee discussion, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that I'm okay with moving that forward if Marty is.
I am too. I agreed.
We kind of went backwards, but that's okay.
I got a little sideline there. Okay, so back up to the agenda.
I will chime in one last time. Sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Tom. I did get from Cindy the amount that we budgeted for the late fees and penalties. And we budgeted $15,600 for water late charges, $18,000 for sewer late charges, and $24,000 for security late charges. So adding all those up together, it's just close to $50,000 that we budgeted. And so far revenue is zero.
Yeah.
So yeah. We need to get back on track because our revenue supports our expenditures.
Right. Okay. If that one is, if item five is complete, we can move on to director and staff comments and suggestions. Tom, you want to start? You have anything? Anybody else on the staff?
I have no comments or suggestions.
You got anything there, Amelia?
No, nobody's raising their hand.
The only thing I have for the next meeting, if you would, could you guys give us a status report on the receivables that are down at the county and what state they're in and whether the payment plans have been completed, and as much as they are willing to cough up, tell us what those payment plans look like, what the terms are. And I don't need to know specifically the terms. I'm looking to understand how much revenue we're going to get and when we can get it.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in understanding, you know, all of their legal agreement, but I think we're entitled to know that there's, and what's down there now is basically CSD unpaid taxes. And unlike the 2014-1 stuff that we went through, that money rolls in and we keep that money. That's not paying off bonds or stuff. So it's a definite impact on our revenue stream. And I just want to understand what the total amount is that's down there and based on what they agreed on, when we're going to get it.
Okay, I can do that. The taxes, December 10th will have passed, so that'll be
good. Yeah, and like I said, for the next meeting, you don't have to run out and do it tomorrow. Just no, for the fine. Next finance meeting is good.
Yeah, perfect. Okay.
Okay, that's all I had, unless anybody is fully first on earthquake proofing a wine rack in San Francisco. I really have nothing else. That's where I am, by the way.
Drink it first.
Marty?
I have no comments. I need to get up to speed, and I'm going to try to do that.
Okay. If there is nothing further, then item 7 is adjournment, and we will go ahead and do that.
Sure. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.